Welcome to the Irish Pagan School podcast. Your hosts are authors and co-founders of the Irish Pagan School here in County Waterford, Ireland, Laura O'Brien and John O'Sullivan. Fáilte.
Dag the Bugus Fáilte. Hi, hello and welcome to John O'Sullivan from the Irish Pagan School. And I am, I'm engaging in some coffee thoughts this morning. So I'm holding a mug that was a gift from one of my stepkids, and it is the Thanos Infinity Gauntlet, and it says infinite power. I'm enjoying my coffee in this mug today, but normally on many occasions, this mug ends up there on the altar with the cauldron for dagged offerings. So this is my coffee thoughts. I'm phrasing it as coffee thoughts. I have thoughts all of the time. And, you know, Bard Brain just constantly keeps filling in this information. And, hey, oh, here's how this story connects to that, or here's how that kind of links over. So it's fascinating and fun, but it's also something I need to manage carefully, which is why I do engage in the Irish Pagan School social media, but I tend to do it in a covert manner. You probably won't see a lot of posts directly from me, or content or replies directly from me, but that doesn't mean I'm not there, because I do find it fascinating, and I do think it's really, really great that our community kind of interacts in that space, but also that, you know, it's not just John dives on everything to talk about, or John dives on to give an answer for everything. That's unrealistic and unsustainable, especially given the global spanning kind of time frames and time zones that we have here with the Irish Pagan School, which is awesome. So, there was something that came up recently in one of our community groups, and it was about the Dagda and his control of emotions, as in his own emotions. One of our students is taking the Dagda classes on the Irish Pagan School. Gurav Mahagat, thank you very much. I do hope you're getting a lot out of them. But they were going through, and in my teaching of that, I do show that the Dagda has control of emotion. And the way that we see that specifically in the Dagda's tools, where the class called the Dagda's tools, it's using his harp, Dordal Blah, the Oak of Two Meadows, which is the name of the harp. So in the story, we're in the aftermath of the second battle of Moytura to set the scene. So the main kind of conflict has happened. Lu has kind of been victorious over Balor, his grandfather, and the main force of the Fomorians is broken. But that doesn't mean that the problem is over. That doesn't mean that it's all done and dusted, because the Fomorians are raiders, and they had come and raided all across Ireland. And one of the places that they had raided was Dagda's own home. So they had raided Dagda's gaff, and they had taken away some of his treasures, including Dordal Blah, the Oak of Two Meadows, the harp. So the thing was, though, that all of the music of the harp was bound within the harp so that no one could pull the music or play the music out of it unless it was the Dagda. So whether that was the magical properties of the harp or magical properties that the Dagda placed upon the harp, we don't know for sure. But what we know is that no one could actually get music out of the harp unless it's the Dagda. And in this story, the Dagda, Lu, and Oma come to retrieve the harp. And so they come and they kind of invade this hall with, in fact, Bress, the deposed King Bress, is there with his father, Alatha. And they're kind of leading this raiding party, and they have kind of rampaged over and collected all the treasures and all the rest of it. The Dagda just comes into the space with only Lu and Oma. Now, of course, he is the Dagda. You know, during the first battle of Moytura, he broke the lines, made room for 150 warriors to follow after him. Which was a feat replicated by a Firbolg champion, I think it was Shring, on the next day. So it's not like that was unachievable or only achievable by someone like the Dagda. But the Dagda and Lu, of course, the Ildanach, he of many interlinked skills, current king, taking over from Nuada for the Battle of Moytura, but then also Oma. Omel said to be the strongest of the two of the Danann, the champion of the two of the Danann. So they kind of break into this hall, and everything's about to go down. Like, it's going to go down bad for all intents and purposes, because you have an entire war band of the raiding host and then just these three icons of the Two of the Damned. But the Dagda then calls across the room. He summons the harp from where it'd been hung on the wall because no one could play it. And the harp leapt off and flew to his hand. And it said on the way, it slayed 9 men. Like, the harp itself just, I don't know, whatever happened, but it, like, next you know, flashed, the harp is in the Dagda's hand and there's 9 men dead on the ground. But what follows here is not a bloodbath. It's not a war. It doesn't kind of descend into anarchy and destruction. The Dagda plays the harp. He plays the music of the harp, and not just any music on the harp. He plays the thing by which a harper is known. And those are the words specifically. So the thing by which a harper is known, a harper, anyone could play an instrument, but to be a harper, you had to have a recognition. And the recognition had to be based on a certain display of skill or talent, or being able to do a thing with the harp. And that thing was the three strains, the Galtre, the Gyantre, and the Sundre, which is the wailing strain, the joyful strain, and the sleeping strain. So the Dagda then plays this music. He plays the three strains. He takes the Fomorians through the Galtre, where they weep and they mourn and they're all kind of bleeding off, they're like negative and they're upset and they're pain and they're just, the entire, everyone is just compelled to cry and to keen and to mourn. Then he changes the music to the Gyantre, and suddenly this invading war host are on the tables, leaping around, having a great time, like singing and dancing and reveling. And then he moves the music to the Sundre, which is the sleeping strain. And then all of the warriors, all of these enemies are slowly wooed down to a sleep, a restful sleep. And that's when the Dagda, Oma, and Lu leave. You have an entire war host, including the deposed King Bresh and his father, Alotha, completely KO asleep. After the raiders had raided and caused harm and pillaged and like stole everything, like after all of these terrible things done against the two of the Danann tribe, and you have them all at your mercy because they're all asleep, what do you do? He leaves. So when I explore this for me, and this is where we take that little step to the side into John's personal perspectives and personal gnosis, when I talk about the Dagda's control of emotion, I am kind of talking about this aspect of it, his awareness of emotion, the importance of emotion, the energy and the power that comes from emotion, but then also like the balance that has to happen to maintain the right levels of emotion. And for me, in my personal experience, growing up in the culture that I grew up in like the 80s and 90s in North Dublin, I was told to not have emotion, pretty much. The only emotion I was allowed that was validated for me in the schoolyard or around anywhere else at all was anger. Wasn't allowed, like, boys don't cry, you know, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, yeah, to be able to kind of come through all of my growth in that and come through a lot of the work I've had to do on myself, on my mental and emotional well-being, to be the person I am today, and then discover that there are stories of this ancient Irish god who gets emotion, who understands emotion, and can help via music weave people through the various states of emotion. The purpose of that story for me is about emotional intelligence. It's acknowledging that feelings have a place, that like the sad feelings, like, you know, they're as natural to us as the joyful feelings. That anger is as natural to us as peace and calm. They are all aspects of what it is to be human, the part of the human condition. But it is about how we feel the emotions and what input we get from that energy and that insight or that perspective that comes from the emotions. But then how we work with that to make our decisions and to make our actions and our choices from there. I have acted emotionally many times in my life. And I won't say that all of them were bad. You know, there's been like, I probably wouldn't be in my current relationship with Laura O'Brien if I hadn't acted emotionally. just blurted out of nowhere, Laura and me standing in the aftermath of a concert, no, not a concert, a convention that I had worked at, and just friends, still at that point, just friends. And she, just being Laura, made me laugh, and I was like, I just love you. And then that was the first time I told her I loved her. And it was just, the emotion was there, and I said it. Of course, I went instant panic. I was like, oh, fucking, you know. But I don't regret it. You know, and I wouldn't be where I am with that relationship if I didn't act from emotion in that regard. And, you know, flip side, there is negative stories too. I have on occasion lost my temper in my younger days when challenged, and, you know, it led to fists, and it shouldn't have led to fists, you know, and there was no reason for it to. So that is part of emotion as well. That's part of the spectrum and what makes us all who and what we are. And the Dagda is not unfamiliar with this. We have the story of how the Dagda gains the power of the club, which is the power over life and death. So in that tale, his son is slain, Kermit, slain by Lou, in fact. and the Dagda won't kind of accept the loss of his child. So he won't give in to the grief or the mourning. He feels it, but he won't let it stop him. And so he stops the corruption of the child's body, his son, his adult son, puts him up on his shoulders and carries him out of Ireland to find some way to restore life to the child. And so he carries him out. It says he leaves Ireland into the East, and he finds three brothers. And one of the brothers has this staff: the rough end will take life, the gentle end will restore life. And the Dagda says, listen, put that in my hand for a second. I want to have a look at it. And as soon as the brother hands it over to him, he just straight up kills them all. He acts and he slays the three guys. And then he uses the gentle end and brings Kermit back from the dead. The first thing Kermit does, though, is look at the three boys, the three men, the three people who were killed, and call his dad out for it. He's like, why should I have life that was taken from them? It's not fair. It's not just. And the Dagda, acting from emotion, seeing only the thing that would restore his child, did injustice. But then he restores the three brothers to life, and he makes a pact. He makes an agreement with them. So when we say that the Dagda has control over emotion, it's not that he is without emotion or not prone to emotional responses or emotional actions himself. What I mean by that, and from my experience and my opinion of this deity, is that he gets it. He gets what emotions are. There are some deities who kind of don't exactly understand the human condition, in my opinion. The Dagda gets the human condition. He understands that, you know, we need food in order to function. We need rest and sleep in order to be able to kind of carry on living, grow and function optimally. We need joy. We need, like, you know, we need our sadness. We need to be able to feel the remorse and the negative. And see, negative is the wrong word there. We need to be able to feel and express all of our range of feelings, because they are all valid. I made a joke many years ago, which has kind of become a bit of an ongoing motto, is like, you got to feel your feelings, and them's Dagda rules. So, you know, I said it out of, like, I've been honored to be in places to help people through emotionally difficult times in my life. And sometimes part of the issue is that they're not actually feeling their feelings. They feel that they're in some way pushing down on their feelings, or believing that their feelings are invalid or not appropriate. And so, like, there are ways to appropriately and inappropriately express one's emotions, but the emotions have to be expressed. Take it from a guy who bottled up his emotions until he broke himself in the worst of ways, ending up, like, you know, lost and alone with a drinking problem and depression. So, like, feelings need to be felt, but they need to inform as only an aspect or a part of our decision-making process, you know. And that's kind of why we live. Like, you know, there's elements of what is the purpose of life, what is the meaning of life. I don't have an answer to that, but I would believe that experiencing the beauty and the amazing expressions of reality all around us and within us is some aspect of the meaning of life. Like, we have these emotions for a reason. We have this ability to shift gear within our brains to be emotional, but then also to be analytical, to be logical. Now, also, you know, emotion is valid no matter what the spectrum is. Some people don't engage with emotion the same way other people engage with emotion. Like some people are, you know, very in tune with their emotions and their feelings, other people are not. And all of it is valid. There is no like, you know, okay, well, if you don't feel sadness here, then obviously there's something wrong with you. Or if you don't feel happy here, obviously there's something wrong with you. That is bullshit, you know? It can be indicative that a person may have, you know, trauma in their past or something that they need to figure out to be able to experience or engage. But how they express their emotion is personally, is a personal thing to that individual. So I want to be clear that when I'm talking about emotion and you have to feel your feelings, I'm saying that you have to feel your feelings in whatever way you feel them. You need to acknowledge your feelings in whatever way you express and acknowledge your emotions, not the way that, you know, John expresses his emotions. I'm not saying you have to be like me or you have to be like the dieter, you have to be like anyone else, but we all have feelings and those are part of the human condition. So these are my coffee thoughts. As I said, I probably went a little bit kind of off. You can see I'm having feelings myself. I'm very passionate about this. I'm very passionate about the talk and about how the data has helped me as a male presenting individual in our world appropriately connect with my feelings. I cry when I need to cry, and I will hold no shame about that. I will laugh, and I will laugh loudly and uproariously, and I will hold no shame for that either. You know, so it is about those healthy balances. And that's kind of what the diagnosis, what my meaning of the diagnosis controlling emotion or his awareness of emotion means to me. So he is prone to emotional outbursts himself. We can see that in the stories, but also he's prone to learn. We can see that he learns from his emotions. He takes on board the teaching. Like he's not in any way perfect. And that's one thing that is important to take on board when we look at the two of the Danann specifically as deities or as the Irish deities, because they're ancestor deities. They are, you know, a tribe of people who came into this land before our tribe of people came into this land. And in some of the stories, actually, there are families in Ireland who claim their lineage directly back to members of the two of Danann, which is probably a talk for another day. So thank you very much for joining me for my coffee thoughts. I really hope you're having a great day wherever you happen to be. And from myself and the Irish Pagan School, look after yourself, take care, and until the next time, slán. Goodbye.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please leave us a positive review in your podcast listener. Then head over to irishpaganschool.com and enroll in one of our free or paid courses. Slán go fóill, and we will see you next time.